Baylor University proudly presents The John Morris Show. Baylor University, where light shine bright. This is The John Morris Show on ESPN Central Texas, the flagship station for the Baylor Bears.
Second and 10 from the 15 for the Bears. Hand off to Ebner again, to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Treston Ebner. Treston Ebner, 15 yards for the Baylor score. The Bears have 30 on the board in the first half against Kansas. Second and 12 for the Bears from the 19-yard line. Snapback's a little high. Handoff to Hastings through the hole. 10, 5, touchdown. Jamichael Hastings into the end zone, a 19-yard touchdown run. The Bears reach 40 points on the day against Kansas.
The John Morris Show is also brought to you by Amanda Cunningham, Coldwell Banker Apex Realtor, by the Baylor Club at McLean Stadium, and by D'Amore Fine Jewelers, 4541 West Waco Drive, where Waco gets engaged.
Coach, congratulations. Very thorough victory for you and the team today.
Yeah, really nice day. Really proud of our guys. As I just told them in here, they've sure come a long way in the 2 years since we were here last. And really fun to see a lot of guys go out and make plays, run the football the way we did, get a fourth quarter shutout. Very proud all around.
Stay connected with the Voice of the Bears on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Snapchat at Voice of Bears.
Here's the play. Carter Stanley pressured and hit hard as he throws the ball upfield. It's intercepted. Another interception by the Bears. It's Graylin Arnold with another pick. Interception number 6 on the season by Graylin Arnold. And the Bears have their fourth takeaway today. Third down play. Stanley to throw. It's in and in. Bobbled and intercepted. He got it. Interception return to the 30. 25, 20. Blake Lynch to the 15-yard line. The Bears have another takeaway from the Jayhawks. This one an interception by Blake Lynch. That's his second of the year.
Now, from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, here's the voice of the Bears, John Morris.
Hi, and welcome, John Morris Show on a Monday. Highlight cuts in the open, courtesy of the Baylor Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Coach Matt Rhule on with us Saturday postgame as well. Talk a lot about that. Baylor finishes off an 11-1 regular season, and the symmetry is just beautiful. 1-11 2 years ago to 11-1. 2 years later, and playing in the Big 12 championship game this Saturday.
That was really unique. You know, Coach Rhule gets his only win in year one in against Kansas, and then turn around and you wrap that up, you know, 11-1 in Kansas.
Right.
So that's really nice, and I think they kind of laid to rest any of the worry about this being a, you know, a sleeper game or anything. They just went in and dominated.
And laid that to rest pretty quick in the game, too, right? Yeah. You and I were talking as the open was running. First quarter, it was very windy up there, very windy. Mm-hmm. Baylor won the toss, deferred to the second half. Kansas took the ball, which you would do,
right.
But it was almost like, are you sure you want to do that, or would you rather have the wind in this first quarter? But they did take the ball, and so Baylor just took advantage, and bam, 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 21-0 in the first quarter.
I was watching it, and I watched those first three touchdowns, and Baylor's offense was – they were clicking on all cylinders. They looked so good. You know, the line was just owning the point of attack, and once they finally got that third touchdown, I was like, man – This is over. So I turned it off and I started, you know, watching a different game. But yeah, man, Baylor looked really good, and they're poised to. I think they're ready to get Oklahoma.
I think I think they took care of business very well last week. Mm-hmm. Some people were worried about this being the trap game.
Yeah,
and I thought the way the team had been focused on the task at hand that game that week all year, I didn't think that was going to be an issue, and it proved not to be an issue at all.
I mean, and you got to understand, people. The point of it being a trap game is I can see how people see that, and I was one, worried about maybe the rhythm of the week. You're used to doing things a certain way, and we talked about them. Some of the players getting to go home, and they switched up practice and everything, but they're just so focused right now, and it's like they're on a mission, and nothing's going to derail them from that mission.
Yeah. So 61-6 was the final score. 6 turnovers by Kansas. They had as many turnovers as they had points in the game. Two of those were on punts, even when Baylor had to punt in the game. One of them bounced up and hit off the hand of the return guy, Kenny Logan, and Ross Matizek, who's the deep snapper, was down there to cover it. He immediately jumped on the ball and pointed to the guy, you know, that it had touched his hand, and that, as they reviewed it, proved to be the case. And then another one was just a booming punt by Baylor, and drove the guy back, and as he was kind of reaching, kind of an over the shoulder moving back, it's off his hands, and Baylor ends up on the ball there. So those were two of the turnovers, and then four interceptions to go with that. So I mean, it was the offense playing well, it was the defense doing what they've done all year. Then you throw in six turnovers, and that's how you get to 61-6.
And you mentioned right there, I think it's an underlining thing that I think it's kind of overlooked, but the play of Isaac Power over the past couple of weeks. And
really, you know, we're good.
And how he's been able to flip the field position and give Baylor, you know, a great start on, you know, they're pinning people back as well as their defense is playing. And that's, you know, that's something that it'll get kind of lost in the shuffle when you're looking at the stat line, but that's really important what he's been able to do.
And you're right. The last 2 weeks, he's been really, really good. Against Texas, remember he had punts that pinned the Longhorns at the 2, the 4, and the 6. And a great average that week, and the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week. And then this week, again, with that wind, you know, sometimes, you know, if it's at your back, you're going to get some pretty good yardage, but half the time you're going to be most likely punting into that wind. He handled it really, really well.
And they're just, like, right now, at this time of the year, where they're, how everything's shaping up, they've picked the perfect time for it all to come together and be playing, you know, at a high level at all three phases of the game.
Exactly. And you're right, all three phases. And again, that's how you get to 61-6. I hope they've got all the stats corrected. It was a nightmare of stats on Saturday.
What happened?
I don't know what was going on, but the Kansas people were just having some issues with stats. They originally had John Mayers as our punter all day. He punted the first time, but then Power did all the rest of them. So that was one thing. And then, you know, normally in a Big 12 game in a press box, you're going to get you got a stat monitor, and it was sort of lagging behind a little bit, which sometimes happens. But then you get printed copy of the stats at the end of each quarter. Well, into the first quarter, we're looking, we got no stats. So Bob Baker runs down and checks, and they said, "Oh no, we only give stats at halftime and postgame." And
that's
we said, "All right, no problem. Nobody else does it that way." So we just went off the stat monitor, which we were a little bit leery of because that had had issues all day. Then we did get stats at halftime, but it was, in fact, I don't think it was even halftime. I think it was right at the start of the third quarter, maybe end of the third quarter. And normally you get them right at the start of halftime because we have a segment with stats at halftime. And so it was just a little bit late there. And then even postgame, I don't think we got printed. No, I know. We didn't get printed stats in postgame before we signed off. We got them after we had already signed off. So they were having some kind of issues, and I'm not sure what it was. But we were just real slow getting stats from the Kansas crew.
I wonder if that's one of those things where they're kind of just like, okay, we're looking forward to basketball.
Maybe, I don't know.
We know we talked about a lot of people, the students in general, you know, not being there because of the holidays. They might have been missing some people as part of the staff.
That's true.
Or,
student,
you know,
workers,
just trying to, you know, compensate for what they had and just running behind.
Well, and I'm not, you know, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. But I just know our athletic communications crew would be much more on top of things.
Right.
So kudos to our people is a good way to say that. But they got the final score right. They got 61-6 right, and the Bears are 11-1. They're 8-1 in Big 12 play. We'll have our Big 12 roundup coming up in just a bit. How about Matt Rhule postgame? Here was Coach Rhule's visit with JJ and I. This was on our broadcast, courtesy of the Baylor Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Let's visit now with Baylor head coach Matt Rhule following the win today. It's brought to you by Alliance Bank. Alliance Bank, it's your bank. Coach, congratulations. A very thorough victory for you and the team today.
Yeah, really nice day. Really proud of our guys. As I just told them in here, they've sure come a long way into the 2 years since we were here last. And really fun to see a lot of guys go out and make plays, run the football the way we did, get a fourth quarter shutout. Very proud all around.
And you got to play so many guys, really probably played everybody you brought on the trip, didn't you?
Yeah, maybe one or two. And if we did, I apologize to them. We tried to get everyone in the game that we could. And, you know, able to escape without any major injuries. and get some guys some work, you know, to have Zeno, to have Gary all get a chance to play, have Garrett McGuire get a chance to play, to have four quarterbacks play. I thought that was really good for our development.
Got off to such a fast start in this game, 21 points in the first quarter. It was a great start on the road.
Yeah, you know, the wind was at our back. We knew it was going to be a real challenge today with the wind. So tried to really be aggressive with that.
And then Tristan Ebner, a real significant game for you guys today.
Yeah, Tristan's back. He's healthy. Made some great plays, and he's a difference maker when he's out there.
And Coach, you know, usually you guys have a really good feel. Did you feel like your guys were engaged and ready to go? Because they sure started fast, you know, coming into the week.
Yeah, I think our guys, I mean, I don't think there's been a week where I felt like they weren't going to be ready to go. I think there's tremendous maturity and toughness. They believe in process. They believe in going 1-0 each week. And I think it showed today.
Well, tremendous win. Now look ahead to the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma coming up next Saturday.
Yeah, I told our guys, you know, I'm going to wake up at tomorrow morning and think about championship week. But, you know, I just really wanted them to really enjoy this win today. To go 11-1 in major college football is hard to do.
Yeah.
And they tied some great teams that, you know, were here a couple of years ago. For the, you know, the single season record in terms of, you know, going to finishing 11-1, that's hard to do, to have 11 wins, and they have a chance next week to go 1-0, and that's all it's going to be about to me. But right now, man, I told them, let's get on this plane, let's have some fun, let's enjoy each other, and let's appreciate the grind of a season that they just made their way through.
Yeah, Coach, congratulations,
congrats, Coach.
Tremendous
thank
season.
You guys.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you.
Coach Matt Rhule, post-game with us on Saturday, and again, very, you would say, workmanlike effort by these guys. Even though the score got out of hand, they came out, were really sharp from the very beginning. Defense never let up, played a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You heard him say in there, there were one or two guys on the trip. I know one of them was Xavier Newman. He was dressed but didn't play. Not sure who the other one might have been. But other than that, everybody played. And late in the game, man, I mean, not just like the last series or something.
Right.
It was a lot of the fourth quarter that they had third and fourth team guys in there. So that's always fun for those guys who practice so hard mm-hmm. and work so hard to actually get in a game. And a Big 12 game is really cool.
Yeah, that's good for that moment. But it's also good for, you know, the development as well, because, like I said, you can't replicate that or duplicate that, I mean, in practice. You know, there's some things that you can get similar, but that in-game experience is just something that can't be replaced. And those guys will benefit from that going forward.
Right. Four quarterbacks played for Baylor on Saturday. Charlie Brewer played the first half. Gary Bohannon came out, played the majority of the second half. Charlie didn't play at all after halftime. Gary Bohannon came in, did his job mm-hmm. really well, and then he gave way to Jacob Zeno, who's the freshman from San Antonio. Mm-hmm. First time he's played this year.
How'd he look?
He looked great.
Did he?
Yeah, I know probably a lot of people like you had turned off to another game by then, but man, he looked good. And I haven't seen that much practice, but I've just heard people, the coaches, talking mm-hmm. about Zeno and how good he's looked in practice. And he was out there, and, I mean, he had some lasers. He was, I don't have the stats in front of me, 3 of 3, I think. But they were just beautiful passes, and ran one in for a touchdown, which was cool. So he played, and it was good to see him out there. Now, he'll still have a red shirt.
Right.
It's the only game he's played in all year. Could still play, you know, a couple more. And still have a red shirt. And then Garrett McGuire got in for one snap also, which is really cool. Coach McGuire's son. And I think it was just one play that he came in, ran the ball, and then he was back off to the sidelines. But that was fun for Garrett to get out there also.
Yeah, I bet that's nice for, you know, for all of them to get an opportunity. And I know that the staff was really high on Zeno, so to see him go out there and perform that, you know, like that is really good. And it's got to give you some momentum going forward that, you know, hey, we're in a good place. You know, Charlie's going to be back, but it's setting up good for the future.
Right, absolutely. So that was great to see. Everybody played. Everybody contributed. Quaylen Jones had a touchdown late in the game, so he got some time at running back for Baylor. Big win, 61-6, the final score. We'll look at the rest of the Big 12 weekend a little bit later, our Big 12 roundup coming up in a couple of segments from now. Right now, let's take a break, and when we come back, how about Baylor volleyball? They win the Big 12, a share of the Big 12 conference title, then get the news last night from the NCAA that they're the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, beginning play this Friday in the Farrell Center. We'll look at that when we come back. Stay with us. John Morris Show off and running on a Monday. Brought to you by Baylor University, where lights shine bright. Also by D'Amore Fine Jewelers at 4541 West Waco Drive.
where we go get engaged.
Baylor University has 330 student organizations. That's 330 ways to find your people. Looking for like-minded Lord Byron lovers? Check out the Literary Society. Get a pulse on your peers in the American Medical Student Association. Or if you'd argue you already have enough friends, then the mock trial team is shouting your name. Whoever your people are, find them at Baylor, where lights shine bright.
Wake up, Waco. It's your financial update with the team from Lovett & Associates. Today, we're here with Eric Lovett and Jeremy Masick. Eric, many investors are familiar with the traditional financial model of asset allocation, but most are not familiar with the model that's more appropriate to get us through retirement, income allocation.
Simply stated, income allocation is designating a portion of your assets to provide for your retirement income and then actually forming a plan to know exactly how this money will accomplish producing that income. It is the reason you saved. Putting in place a precise plan that gives you the confidence to retire.
Jeremy, why is having an income allocation a specific advantage over the traditional accumulation and growth model?
Income allocation sets forth a written structure to help meet income needs that we may have in retirement. When you've worked for 30, 40 years and you've accumulated this lump sum and you don't have a strategy for taking an income from it, that can lead you to deplete that a lot quicker than you might think. An income allocation plan is very important because we need to know how much we need in retirement, and what is the most efficient way to generate that income using everything that we've worked so hard to save for. The paycheck is really the bottom line. That is your income plan prior to retirement. You know, your paycheck is what you look forward to, and how much is going into your 401k is the secondary thought. And that's what we want to help people do every single day, is recreate that sustainable, predictable income in retirement, and also take the risk of running out of money off the table.
For your complimentary income allocation strategy design, or to request your copy of the authoritative book, Income Allocation, pick up the phone and give Lovett and Associates a call. 254-870-6800. That's 254-870-6800.
Security and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC, a broker-dealer, and a registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other entity. Investments in securities do not offer a fixed rate of return. Principal yield and or share price will fluctuate with changes in market conditions, and when sold or redeemed, you may receive more or less than originally invested. No system or financial planning strategy can guarantee future results.
Direct phone number to reach Lovett & Associates is 254-751-1256.
Hi, my name is Dave DeRozier, General Manager of Freddie Kish's Complete Car Care Center, voted number one in Waco since 2002. It's time to start thinking about winterizing your vehicle. Have you checked your wiper blades, your coolant protection, your battery, your tire conditions? How about your tire pressure? How about that spare tire that everybody forgets about? Let us check these worries off your list before taking that holiday vacation with your family at Freddie Kish's Complete Car Care Center, where your troubles are our business. Dedicated to serving you since 1998, located at 5300 Franklin Avenue in Waco. Come and see us and tell them Dave sent you.
Pomparolo's Pizza, a Waco tradition since 1969 and consistently voted best pizza in Waco. With two locations to serve you, one on Valley Mills Drive and one in Hewitt. Pomparolo's Pizza, open Monday through Friday with lunch specials. You can find out more at www.pomparolos.com. Whether you dine in, carry out, drive through, or order online, it's Pomparolo's Pizza. Best pizza in Waco, best pizza on earth.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley's show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet and McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Check out our November Fall Savings event featuring our best truck deals of the year. Come see the difference so many of our friends rave about: transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at turnerschevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Stick 'em, Bears.
Some of the sounds of the season as the calendar turns to December. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. John Morris, Garrett Ross in studio. Brought to you by UBO Business Services, a championship decision in business, is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. You can call Sean at 254-772-1600. That is UBO Business Services. And you heard the spot in that last break. You heard Dave DeRozier from Freddie Kish's Complete Car Care Center. And we appreciate them partnering with us here at ESPN Central Texas. But also, let me say this, an unsolicited testimonial, if you will. My wife's car, the only time I get her car is when it needs gas or needs work or something checked out or washed, which I have today to go take right. it and get it washed. But she said it's just not driving right. And so we took it to one place, and they worked on the brakes. But even after that, she said it's just not driving right. So Dave had been in here with us. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He came visited yeah. with us. So I asked her, I said, how about we take it to Freddie Kish's? And she said, yeah, that sounds great. So we did on Wednesday. Yeah, the day before Thanksgiving, we took her car there and just kind of let her describe to Dave right. what she felt with the car and what she thought it was doing or not doing. And he said, all right, we'll take a look at it. So kept it there, and it was a good time, you know, for us to be down a car over Thanksgiving, and I was home, and mm-hmm. so it worked out great. But get the call back, and sure enough, it needed 4 new tires. So that was a big part of it, but they just checked it from stem to stern, got the new tires. We picked it up on Friday. And let me tell you, I mean, that part of it was great. Doing right. that part was great, but the service there is just unbelievable. I mean, it really is. And I know Freddie and Gene, I've mm-hmm. known them for a long time and haven't known Dave that well, that long. But, man, they brought us in. He showed us the back and how clean it is, what they have back there. And it was very impressive. And so I know there's probably a lot of good uh-huh. places in town to take your car, but I would, if somebody asked me, and we get a lot of Baylor students who are in town right. from out of town, and sometimes their parents say, where would you suggest? Man, I'm sending them to Freddie Kish's, because that was a great experience for us. And so again, yes, I know they advertise with us, but this has nothing to do right. with that. We just had a personal, really, really good experience there.
And I know I still need to make it over there because
wipers. You need wipers.
I need my
right?
wiper blades, and so I'm gonna have to go set up with Dave and get those right. you know fixed. And there's some other things they can probably take a look at as well.
There you go. Yeah. While you have it, take yeah, while a look you have at it. This. So 5300 Franklin is where they're located. It's right by the Big Bob Mills Furniture Place. But again. Just this is not a live read that they paid for here on the station. This is just me telling you we had a really good experience there. So thanks to Dave DeRozier, and Gina came out and said hi to us, and everybody there was very, very friendly. So Freddie Kish's Complete Car Care Center was better than advertised. All right, let's talk volleyball. Baylor volleyball, number one seed in the NCAA tournament, number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. They got the word last night. It was kind of funny. They had a watch party at, mm-hmm. at Coach McGuire's house, and they do this every year. So they have the team there, and a few other folks, you know, are invited. The media are invited to be there. Well, this year, when you're number one, ESPN shows up at your front door also. So they had a live connection with Coach McGuire that was a little bit sketchy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it could have been. I don't know what exactly happened, but yeah, it was sketchy is a good way to put it.
It was just the audio. I mean, it wasn't anything on Coach McGuire's part. No. It just sounded like he had a hard time hearing the host of the show as they interviewed him on ESPNU. But the gist of it was Baylor, number one overall seed, hosting in the Farrell Center. If they win first and second rounds, they would host third and fourth mm-hmm. rounds here as well. So they have put themselves in great position. And remember, that's why they scheduled so tough this yep. year. And made the schedule in non-conference as hard as it was to put themselves in position if they did well to host in the NCAA tournament. And here they've done that.
And that win over Texas, I think, definitely catapulted them to right. be the number one overall seed. And then, you know, I mean, going into it, I don't know how much of this plays into them getting an opportunity to host. But when you have a crowd like they had, you know, that to me, that's going to say, hey, we're going to host this here, and it's going to draw in, you know, a lot of people to come and see it, and they're going to get some great matchups, and you get the number one overall seed, and it's just a great environment, and it's a great opportunity for Baylor.
Yeah, and they've earned it. I mean, they really absolutely. Have earned it. They're 25-1. They beat TCU Saturday 3-0, And that clinches a Big 12 title. They share the Big 12 championship with Texas this year. Both have one conference loss. Texas beat Baylor in Austin. Baylor beat Texas in that historic match in the Farrell Center in 5 sets, 3-2. So hosting Friday and Saturday in the Farrell Center. Here's the schedule. At 5 p.m. on Friday, the other two teams that are here, Stephen F. Austin and USC, square off. They play at 5. And then Baylor versus Sacred Heart at 7 on Friday evening. The two winners advance to the second round. They would meet at 8 p.m. on Saturday in the Farrell Center. So some top-notch NCAA tournament volleyball in the Farrell Center this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
How do they determine if they're going to get to host the following rounds? How's it just depend on how that shapes up?
I think so. And I think if you're that high a seed, what I think is the top four seeds in the tournament, overall seeds, I think if they win, they would host. Right.
That makes sense.
So it basically rewards your high seed.
Yeah.
Then you would continue to host. And Baylor being the number one overall, they would continue to host the next weekend.
I think it's pretty safe to say, you know, barring some upset thing, that Baylor will be hosting for a while.
Yeah, I think so too. Right through to the national semifinals, you know. Yeah, you host first and second round, you win those two, you win the next two, and you're on to the final four for volleyball. So great season for Baylor volleyball. Best in school history continues hosting this weekend.
I think it's unreal to see what he's been able to do, Coach McGuire's been able to do here. And it's fun. And the fact that you open up your house to everybody, too. That just kind of shows the type of person he is.
That's right.
You know, that's not very many people are going to do that.
That's him. And Jen says, yeah, come on.
Yeah, bring it on
ESPN,
in.
Yeah, come on in. So pretty cool. Congratulations to them. We'll have a lot on that coming up later in the week. Basketball, the men were off this weekend. And in fact, off last whole week. They'll be back in action tomorrow night hosting Maryland Eastern Shore in the Farrell Center. 6:30 tip-off tomorrow night for that one. The Lady Bears played in that Paradise Jam in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. Beat Washington State on Thursday. Beat Indiana on Friday. And then played fifth-ranked South Carolina on Saturday. Tight game throughout, but then in the end, a late run by South Carolina, and they knock off the Lady Bears, 74-59, won by 15 points. First loss of the year for the Lady Bears. Snapped the 36-game winning streak for Baylor, going back to the Stanford loss last year. So a longest winning streak in the nation. Baylor had that snapped, and South Carolina wins it over Baylor. 74-59. Also in that tournament was Oregon, the number one team in the nation. Baylor was number two. Oregon got beat.
Who beat
them? Maybe Louisville. I'm not sure, but I think Louisville.
So number one and number two fall the same day.
Yes.
Gosh,
and
that's
had Baylor
crazy.
Won, they most likely probably would have moved up to number one in the poll today or tomorrow. But Baylor, their first loss of the year, and now they'll be back in action Wednesday at home hosting Georgia. It's the Big 12 SEC Challenge Wednesday at 7 in the Farrell Center.
That'll be a good, you know, way for them to bounce back. It's probably, you know, just finally, you know, not having Lauren probably caught up with them.
Maybe.
You're playing against a top five team, and you're going to get their best shot, and they're definitely going to want to upset you. And, you know, they're going to be fine. They'll bounce back, you know, but it's a good way to good test for them, you know, going forward, you know, as far as the tournament unfolds.
Yeah, and really a top-notch tournament there. I mean, with those teams there, Oregon was number one, Baylor two, South Carolina was five, Louisville was seven or eight, I think. Indiana, who Baylor beat on Friday, they were 17. So, man, they had some teams in that tournament.
That's how you want to play, though. You don't want to go to a tournament where there's nobody there. You want to get pushed, even though, whether you lose or not. You want to definitely play the competition.
Yep. So the Lady Bears look to bounce back from a loss for the first time in about a year, almost a full calendar year. They suffered their first loss of the year on Saturday. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, our Big 12 roundup from the weekend, and look ahead to the Big 12 championship game football-wise. It's Saturday in Arlington. It's Baylor in Oklahoma, Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on the air here bright and early at 7 a.m. Saturday morning for pregame coverage. The Baylor Alumni Tailgate Show at 9 a.m., and then 11 a.m. kickoff for the Bears and the Sooners round two on Saturday from Arlington. Take a break. Look at that when we come back. John Morris Show brought to you by Baylor University, where lights shine bright.
Baylor University has 129 undergraduate degree programs. That's 129 ways to be you. like a Dark Ages expert with a history degree, or a light unto the world with a BA in religion. Excel with the structure of engineering, or increase your interest in finance. Keep your head in the clouds in astronomy, or your feet on the ground with earth science. No matter what walk of life you choose, take the first step at Baylor, where lights shine bright.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Miller with Syntex Rehab in Belton and Harker Heights. The start of a new school year means that many kids out there are starting back into fall sports. And since football has already started, I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about some of the most common injuries. One of the most common injuries in football is a muscle strain or a pulled muscle, especially in the hamstrings or quads. So what do you do for it? What's after ice or rest? Well, a lot. In fact, I have a full report available on my website that walks you through the steps of recovery from both minor and major strains, and I'm making it available to you for free. To access your report, the 5 secret recovery steps of a muscle pull that only pro athletes know and use, simply go to my website at syntexrehab.com/SMP. That's syntexrehab.com/SMP, and you can download the full report for free. Remember, the recovery is more than just rest and ice, and pro athletes know that. Go to syntexrehab.com/SMP and download your free report today.
Football season has merged with hunting season. Waco Custom Marketplace, your one-stop shop for tailgating, deer season, and fall as they continue to offer fully cooked brisket smoked in-house. A fall family box with 5 pounds of ground beef, 5 pounds of 6-ounce chicken breast, and 5 pounds of boneless pork chop for $40. Deer camp box with a pound of jalapeno or regular summer sausage, pound of cheddar cheese, roll of crackers, pound of bacon, pound of breakfast patties, and 2 pieces of sirloin steak for $25. The fall box with 5 pounds of ground chili meat, 5 pounds of stew meat, and 3 pounds of boneless beef roast. And there's the fall snack box, $15, including a piece of summer sausage, pound of cheddar cheese, pound of pepper jack cheese, and a roll of Ritz crackers. The fall savings steak box, including 6 ribeye steaks, 4 New York strips, 2 pieces of sirloin steak, and beef fillets for just $100. And you can start your day with fresh kolaches, baked daily and fresh. It's your one-stop shop for all your tailgating needs. The friendliest, fastest grocery store in Waco. Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive in Waco.
Miller Lite is brewed for every Cowboys fan who knows Miller Lite has been the only beer of the Cowboys since day one. Because when it comes to your team and your beer, you never compromise. That's why we brew Miller Lite with great taste and only 96 calories. Miller Lite. Hold true. Celebrate responsibly. 2018 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, 96 calories, 3.2 grams carbs, less than 1 gram protein, and 0 grams fat.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm your boy Q with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Enjoy comfort that's built to last with the new Train heating and cooling system. Visit traininfo.com to find your local dealer. It's hard to stop a Train. According to multiple reports, major shakeups have gone on with Tom Herman's coaching staffs at UT. Defensive coordinator Todd Orlando was fired, along with wide receivers coach Drew Mehringer. Also, wide receiver coach Corby Meekins has been reassigned, and safety coach Craig Nivar will be interim defensive coordinator for now. The Longhorns finished the 2019 regular season a very disappointing 7-5. In the NFL, the Texans improved their overall record to 8-4 after defeating New England 28-22 Sunday night. Deshaun Watson was 18 for 25 with 234 yards and 3 touchdowns, and also caught a touchdown pass from wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. In the NBA, the Mavs picked up a big win, taking down the Lakers 114-100, and the Spurs, they got blown out by the Pistons 132-98.
SportsCenter every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. This is the John Morris Show, proudly presented by Baylor University, where lights shine bright.
From 1-11 2 years ago to 11-1 this season, the Baylor Bears finish with a decisive win over the Kansas Jayhawks. They'll have a full head of steam as they play in the Big 12 championship game Saturday against Oklahoma. Final score, Baylor 61, Kansas 6.
Now, back to today's JMO Radio Show. Here's the voice of the Bears, John Morris.
I like cut courtesy of the Baylor Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. End of the game Saturday in Lawrence as the Bears wrap up the regular season with a decisive 61-6 win over the Kansas Jayhawks. Bears now on to the Big 12 championship game this Saturday in Arlington, as we said, against the Oklahoma Sooners.
So I was thinking about this when listening to that.
Okay.
You went a long time without ever having an opportunity to call a Big 12 championship game.
Yeah.
And then now, just 3 years, you know, you're already back. Then you have another opportunity to do it. Did you think it was going to happen this soon?
I don't know. You know, that's just such rarefied air.
Yeah.
I don't know if you go into a season thinking, yeah, we're gonna play for a Big 12 championship, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's really rare. In 13 and 14, there was no championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So Baylor had to win games late in the year, 13 over Texas, 14 over Kansas State, you know, to clinch the Big 12 championship. So this one's different in that respect,
that
there's a Big 12 championship game. But, man, it's fun. I was texting with Toby Rowland last night, who does Oklahoma play-by-play, and we both said, this is fun. This is a fun week. So really cool that Baylor's involved in it.
Yeah, it's really neat, and I know I wasn't expecting them to bounce back this fast. It's good. I'm glad it's happening, and you know, the future is bright, but I was just interested on your perspective of that.
Yeah, sure is great, you know, to see the team, again, just 1 year removed, 2 years removed from 1-11 to be 11-1 right now and playing for the Big 12 championship and potentially a spot in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
I mean, that poll is going to be interesting to see when it's unveiled tomorrow night. Baylor, two teams ranked ahead of Baylor lost. We were keeping up with those scores. Minnesota got whacked pretty good. So Minnesota lost, and then Alabama lost to Auburn, and their second loss. So Baylor should move up in the poll. The big question is going to be, you know, the Big 12 champion, whoever it is, Oklahoma or Baylor, can they get up to the top four?
I think if you're a Big 12 fan, Baylor or Oklahoma fan, you're pulling right now for LSU and you're pulling for Oregon.
Yeah.
Because if LSU takes care of Georgia and, you know, Oregon knocks off Utah, then that opens up the door for either the winner of the Big 12 game to go in.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. And I think LSU can do that. I watched part of their game as we were packing up as they beat A&M on Saturday. And I don't know that much really about Oregon or Utah. No. I don't know how to handicap that one.
The only Oregon game I've seen was was it the opening week when they played Auburn?
Yeah.
And then I haven't seen Utah at all, so I don't know anything about them.
That's it. They're still lurking out there. I mean, they're having a great year, that's for sure. And then Georgia will play LSU in the SEC championship game. All right, let's look at the Big 12 weekend and a long weekend. It goes back to Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. First game of the weekend was in Austin, Texas, and Texas Tech.
And Sam has the snap and all play action with a blitz coming. Longhorns pick it up, and Ellinger going deep for Duvernay. He's open. He caught it. Say goodnight to this one. One play. 75 big ones to the house. Ellinger to Duvernay.
Craig Way with the call. Longhorn Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Big day for Sam Ellinger. And watching this game, man, he looked good. He played really well. Duvernay was his big play receiver. Big game by Roshan Johnson running the ball for the Longhorns. And they won big over Texas Tech, 49-24.
Yeah, you know Ellinger's always going to go out there and, you know, you're going to get a good game from Ellinger regardless. It seems like it. I mean, that's usually how it does. But I think Roshan was the difference maker for Texas and the performance he had, you know, and with the three touchdowns and everything. And I know they recruited him as a quarterback, but man, that running back position sure does seem to suit him well.
They had to move there. They needed him at running back, and he has done really, really well at running back for UT. Word is he'll go back to quarterback next year, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You might be tempted to keep him there at running back.
Because, I mean, you know, they want Keontae Ingram to be their main running back. That's why they brought him in, but he just, like, disappears at times. I don't know what it is. There's, like, some defenses that he just doesn't have the skill set to play, you know, to get the runs off against some defense. But Roshan will just line up, and it doesn't matter who he's playing against. He's going to get his yards.
Yeah, he was really good. Texas offensively was really good. 49 points a week after they struggled to put 10 on the board against Baylor here in Waco. But 49 points. Texas ends the regular season with a big win, 49-24 over Texas Tech. The other game on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, was in Fort Worth. It was West Virginia and TCU. The Frogs go into the game needing that win to become bowl eligible.
From the left hash, it's second down and 10. Four receivers in this set. Deggie takes the ball. Deggie throws it toward the end zone, looking for Esdale. He makes makes the catch. He goes out of the end zone. Touchdown! West Virginia with 2:10 to go. A home run ball of 35 yards. Isaiah Esdell caught it at the front pylon. He got 1 foot in. The official held his call. He looked and he threw his arms up. And with 2:10 to go, West Virginia's Isaiah Esdell has gone in for a touchdown on a bomb from Jarrett Deggie, and the Mountaineers take a 19-17 lead.
Tony Caridi, the call, West Virginia Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. West Virginia goes to Fort Worth and knocks off TCU 20-17.
They found their guy. You know, Dougie came out of nowhere, it seems like, and he's just been on a roll. And Max Duggan, you know, he was been doing good for TCU, but that West Virginia defense just put the clamps on him. And, you know, he wasn't no touchdowns, a couple of interceptions. He just had a bad day, and he picked the worst time to have a bad day.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dougie is just what he's been able to do in a short amount of time is impressive. And going forward, you know, West Virginia seems like they have their guy.
And the interesting part is, I mean, he hadn't been their starter all year.
Mm-mm.
It was Austin Kendall,
yeah,
for the most part, for West Virginia this year. He has been off and on ineffective. So they got to the last four games of the year and started playing Jarrett Deggie at quarterback, knowing that he can play four games,
yep,
and still get a red shirt. And look what he's done. West Virginia won two of their last three, mm-hmm, didn't they? Two of their last three games.
You know, and that rule, I love that rule. I think it's a great rule for, you know, the younger players. You know, we were talking about Jacob Zeno earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great,
mm-hmm,
rule, and Dougie is just taking full advantage of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good to see that.
So West Virginia ends on a high note, wins in two of their last three games. Neil Brown, his first year as head coach there. Tough for TCU because they finish at 5-7,
mm-hmm,
same record as West Virginia. So no bowl game for the Frogs this year. And in, let's see, in Gary Patterson's, what, 18, 19 years coaching.
Yeah.
This is only the third time he's had a team not bowl eligible.
But he also, you know, this is probably the first time in forever that he didn't have a legitimate, you know, a solidified quarterback. You know, and they had so many issues. Jalen Reagor was just non-existent because he couldn't get the ball, you know,
right,
thrown to him. And, you know, when you lose your best playmaker gets taken out of the game like that, it's difficult for their offense to put up any numbers.
So West Virginia over TCU 20-17. That was on Friday. Go forward to Saturday, the Baylor Kansas game, first game of the day. Then Saturday evening, it was Farmageddon, Kansas State, and Iowa State in Ames.
Two men in the backfield. Here's the handoff. This is Brown to the left side. He's at the 10, to the 5. He's got it. He's got it. Touchdown, K-State. 15-yard run for Jordan Brown. And the Wildcats lead with 10:24 to go, 23-17.
Wyatt Thompson, the call, K-State Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Tough one to call going in. I would have had a hard time predicting,
yeah,
this one. I might have predicted Iowa State to win because they were playing at home. But K-State wins the game over Iowa State. What was the score on that one? 24-17, or was it 20-17? Same score as, I think it was 24-17. We'll double-check on that. But K-State wins.
27-17.
What was it? 27-17?
Yeah.
Okay. K-State wins that game. And Chris Klieman, his first year at Kansas State, they finish 8-4, 5-4 in the Big 12, and finish with a big win over Iowa State. And they're not finished. They'll go to a bowl game.
Yeah, and it's hard to follow up a legend. You know, it's really almost impossible. But he's done really well stepping into those, you know, those shoes, and his scheme and everything seems to fit well with Kansas State. The kids, they bought in early, and they, you know, it's showing, and it's really impressive. You know, Skylar Thompson's been good for them, but they've been able to gel, and, you know, they're doing their thing.
Yeah, and so K-State, over the course of this year, Chris Klieman's first season in Manhattan, they beat Iowa State to end it. They're the ones who handed Oklahoma their only,
mm-hmm,
loss this year. It makes the Baylor win in Manhattan all the more impressive because that was, what, 31-12,
yeah,
I think, and Baylor really, you know, had control of that game the entire game.
It really does. I mean, it was impressive from the start, but when they beat Oklahoma, and then I think that was overlooked. I don't know what happened there, but I think that win over Oklahoma by Kansas State was underrated in the sure. grand scheme of things.
Right.
But you're right. You know, to finish the way they have, it shows that that win by Baylor was really big.
Now, here's the way. If you look at the Big 12 standings, you got Baylor and OU on top, 8-1 in conference play. You got four teams tied for third with 5-4 records. Texas, Kansas State, Iowa State, and who's the other one? Kansas State. Texas, Kansas State. Iowa State and Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
So it's the states, and then it's Texas, are all tied at 5-4 in league play. So how do you break that tie with four teams? It's really tough because, you know, you would think head to head, but then, you know, we got four teams involved, and I haven't seen this broken out yet, but I think Kansas State is going to be the number three team there. Now it's a four-way tie for third, but then when you start putting teams in bowls, I think it's going to be Kansas State because
of the
win over Oklahoma. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's really the only way you can separate it.
Yeah.
Because they did what those other teams couldn't do.
You do a round robin against each other. Does any team have a leg up? It's hard to say, you know, hard to do with four teams. Then you start going, well, okay, how did they do against the teams ahead of you? Mm-hmm. That would be Baylor and Oklahoma. Baylor didn't lose to any of those four. K-State's win over Oklahoma might give them a leg up. So they may be the number three team in this league when it comes slotting time for bowls.
I think you're right, because, I mean, that's the easiest way to separate them from the core group there.
All right, then the final game of the night was Saturday night. We were sitting in the small lobby of the airport in Lawrence, waiting on the plane to get back there, and watching this game. It was Bedlam in Stillwater, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
In motion, Lee Morris. Snap to Hurts, back to pass. Looks left. Pulls it down, wants to run it himself. 25 to the 20. Has room. Makes a move. 15. Watch out. 10-5. He's a one-man show. Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Toby Rowland, the call. Sooner Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Bedlam. A lot of times hard to predict, but OU really looked good. They beat Oklahoma State 34-16, the final score.
I think it was unique. Early in the week, you know, Gundy was talking about their offense, the Oklahoma offense, and was saying it's essentially a wishbone disguised as the spread because,
right.
you know, Jalen Hurts does everything. And then, well, what happens? Jalen Hurts comes out, throws a touchdown, runs a touchdown, catches a touchdown.
Catches one.
You know, and they just weren't able to, you know, get him under wraps. But they did shut down CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb was, you know, he had like a couple of catches, but nothing. But, yeah, they just weren't able to slow down Jalen.
Yeah. And the other thing that Gundy said last week, he referred to Oklahoma as a one-man show.
Yeah.
And you heard Toby's call in there. Kind of gigged him a little bit when he said one man. He is a one-man show. They are not a one-man show, believe me. Jalen Hurts is really good, but they've got a lot of weapons. But that was great by Toby to work that into that touchdown call.
And I think, you know, their offensive line is not getting the credit that they deserve. You know, because Jalen, yeah, he's doing fantastic. He's making all these big plays, but they're giving him just enough time to do that. And then they're opening up those running lanes for him and for Kennedy Brooks. And, you know, it's I think that they're getting overshadowed by the play by, you know, Jalen.
Yeah. I mean, quarterback always gets the spotlight, you know, and he's played really, really well. But it is much more than a one-man show. OU over Oklahoma State, 34-16. All right, that's the Big 12 roundup from the weekend. The one game remaining this week in the regular season, I guess you call it the regular season. It's the Big 12 championship game, Saturday morning, 11 a.m. It's here on ESPN Central Texas. It's Baylor and OU coming up from AT&T Stadium in Arlington.
I'm really looking forward to this game, and I want to see which Baylor team shows up, the first half team, the second half team, what adjustments they're able to make, because they had the right game plan for Jalen in the first half. They just ran out of gas, it seemed like, in the second half. But it'd be the perfect time for them to put together two back-to-back full games. I think last week against Kansas was probably the first time they put together a full game all year. You know, they've had spurts and halves where they've, you know, looked great and they've let teams back in. But if they could put together another complete game, it would be the perfect time to do it against Oklahoma.
Boy, absolutely. So that's coming up Saturday, Baylor and OU from Arlington. All right, take a break. Come back, wrap things up in a moment. John Morris Show here on ESPN Central Texas, brought to you by Baylor University, where lights shine bright.
Baylor University's average undergrad class is just 26 students. Instead of a sea of strangers, that's 26 new friends with 26 new perspectives. Like Chloe, who has pretty unique theories on linear algebra. Deontay, who has vital knowledge of all things medical, or Jess, who marches to the beat of her own drum in the Baylor Golden Wave Band. When you're ready to see things a little differently, take a look at Baylor, where lights shine bright.
Don Humidor has among the best top-rated cigars, not in the country, but the world, inside their 48-foot walk-in humidor. Rocky Patel, Padron, Ashton, Monte Cristo, Romeo and Julieta, Artur Fuente. If you want a cigar, no matter if it's harsh or something light, Churchill length or smaller, Don Humidor is where you go. And ask for Carol and Ashley, two ladies that will greet you with a smile and great intelligence and knowledge in the cigar business. Don Humidor, in the Townwood Shopping Center, off Valley Mills in Waco.
Tired of searching for your next apartment home? No one wants to drive around aimlessly, wasting gas, looking at one place after another. Let Heritage Square end your search. Their courteous and professional on-site staff will have you relaxing by their crystal clear pool in no time, letting all the stress of moving just float away. Call them at 254-420-1500. Heritage Square. It's more than a place to call home.
Y'all listen up. Let me tell you something about group meals from Rudy's Barbecue. It's got all you need for all the folks you gotta feed, smoked meat, sides, and more. There's everything down to the tablecloth, just like the one that you see at the store. At a bridal shower, it's better than flowers. And a long distance meeting, it'll pass the hours. It'll feed all the cousins at a family function. It's better than potluck at a church luncheon. Next time you need to feed 10 or more, call and order a Rudy's group meal.
Next in line.
The holidays are upon us, and it is the season of giving. Now is your chance to give double with D'Amore Fine Jewelers. From now until Christmas Eve, D'Amore Fine Jewelers will donate a generous portion of each purchase directly to Toys for Tots. So shop this holiday season at your local family-owned D'Amore Fine Jewelers and give the gift of Christmas to a child in need. At D'Amore Fine Jewelers on West Waco Drive.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Check out our November Fall Savings event featuring our best truck deals of the year. Come see the difference that so many of our friends rave about. Transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at TurnerChevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Bears.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm your boy Q with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Enjoy comfort that's built to last with the new Trane heating and cooling system. Visit traininfo.com to find your local dealer. It's hard to stop a Trane. According to multiple reports, major shakeups have gone on with Tom Herman's coaching staffs at UT. Defensive coordinator Todd Orlando was fired, along with wide receivers coach Drew Mehringer. Also, wide receiver coach Corby Meekins has been reassigned, and safety coach Craig Nivar will be interim defensive coordinator for now. The Longhorns finished the 2019 regular season in a very disappointing 7-5. In the NFL, the Texans improved their overall record to 8-4 after defeating New England 28-22 Sunday night. Deshaun Watson was 18 for 25 with 234 yards and 3 touchdowns, and also caught a touchdown pass from wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. In the NBA, the Mavs picked up a big win, taking down the Lakers 114-100, and the Spurs, they got blown out by the Pistons 132-98.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
With us, John Morris, Garrett Ross in studio. So you know this song, Fade It Slow. You know this song, right? What's the name of it?
I don't know the name of it. I know it.
Oh, okay. Most people would say it's September, but fade it, go back up there and listen. This is the version of September that is December.
Yeah.
A version of September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. That is December here on December 2nd. So
perfect.
There you go. How about that? On the second day of December. Oh, and get this. So Ed Page, when I saw him a couple of weeks ago, he comes to me with the news that Earth, Wind, and Fire is going to be here in Waco in concert as part of the Providence Gala in April.
Okay.
And I said, oh, I got to be there for
that. Oh, you're
going
to be there.
I got to be there for that. But it's great that Ed thought of me when he knew, when he found out Earth, Wind, and Fire was going to be here. So that'll be pretty cool. I hope that works out schedule-wise. All right, final segment. Here on the 2nd of December for our hour, then we'll turn things over to Matt Mosley. Top of the hour, Matt Mosley Show here on ESPN Central Texas. Today is Special Education Day, which is nice, commemorating the anniversary of the nation's first federal special education law, December 2nd, 1972.
Yeah, this is a special day for me because my son has Down syndrome and is in the special needs program at Robinson, and it's fantastic to see that what they're able to do with these kids. And, you know, my son's been going there, and he's been a part of that since the 3 years old, and there's no telling when it'll finish. But, yeah, it's a very good thing, and it's something that's dear to my family.
Yeah, well, I know it hits close to home for you, and for that reason it does for me also. But think about the opportunities, you know, for kids like that, and how many is that through the years?
Yeah.
That just get so many more opportunities now because of special education. And this is a day to recognize and honor that, National Special Education Day. All right. Well done, Garrett. Appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
We got to get out of here. Matt Mosley is coming up next. Stay tuned. Matt and Stephen Simcox will take it from here until noon, actually till 11:30. Remember the Matt Rhule press conference on the air live here at 11:30 this morning. Matt Mosley is coming up next. Keep it here on ESPN Central Texas.
We'll be back. There's no doubt. And we'll try to learn from this.